Welcome, welcome. It's good we are here tonight to study some more of God's Word. We started a study last week. We're talking about the characteristics of God, the character of God, things that we can learn of Him through His character, through these characteristics that we're going to be studying. And the first thing we wanted to do was look at the various names of God. And last week we studied the different derivatives of Elohim, or El, E-L, and the different modifiers that are attached to that, that then describe various characteristics of our Creator. And so we're going to continue talking about those names tonight. Before we get into our first section, Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee at this time, and we are so thankful for the blessings that You grant to us each and every day, that we can gather together tonight to study Your Word, to learn of You, Your character, that we can learn and glean and incorporate into our own lives and just be better servants of Yours. We just pray that You would be with us in our study tonight, that we might be edified and strengthened, and that would be pleasing unto You. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were talking about Elohim and El and the different derivatives and modifiers that are attached to that. Tonight we wanted to look at Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. We're all very familiar with that. That name. It actually comes from a verb form, which means to exist or to be. It's when you put it with its usage, really stresses God as independent, self-existent, that He's the God of revelation and redemption, just all-encompassing, if you will. So we're going to look at Yahweh and some of the different modifiers that go with it. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 22, just to start right off, if we look down in verse 14 tonight, and Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord's, in the Lord it shall be provided. So this is the first one we wanted to talk about, we wanted to kind of take a look at. And you take the word Lord, or Yahweh, and you add to it J-I-R-E-H. All right, let me see how that's pronounced. In my little sheet here, if I can find it. Yara, something like that. But anyway, J-I-R-E-H, okay? And it quite literally means exactly that what we just read, okay? The Lord will provide. So what does that say to us? The Lord will provide, you know, He will provide. What does that mean to us that He will provide? Right. So literally, specifically, right there in that event, He provided. Just boom, instantly. There it was. Right.
Whatever is needed.
Right. All kinds of things, right, that we can look to Him to provide. Yeah. Can be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we talk about the Lord providing. So it can be that, you know, the Lord will provide. Sometimes he provides that we will go through a trial or a tribulation or something. Something that will, should, cause us growth. If we treat it correctly and you know, et cetera. So Cliff, go ahead. When you stop and think about it, you know, everything spiritually, God has provided. Everything physically, God has provided. Okay? We're just stewards here. We're just, you know, we're just here for a short time. He's provided it all, and he's created it all. You know, so the Lord will provide. And, yeah, so you can look at very specific events, like this one that we saw in Genesis 22, provides the ram. Okay, so he provided. But you can look at anything, and God has provided it. And that's something that we just need to remember. We just need to remember that He provides everything. The Lord will provide. Jerry?
I have a question.
Uh-oh. I probably don't have the answer.
Well, you may be right. In verse 8, Abraham's answering his son, and he uses the word, God will provide for himself.
I did not look that up. So again, I'm not sure. I would have to go back and look. Or if somebody has a moment to go into their fancy phone and look up that verse and what it says is the literal Hebrew translation of that one. But I did not look it up.
Yeah.
But God is providing.
Will provide.
Yeah. Without looking it up, I would tend to think that it is, but I would need to look it up to be sure. But because it's basically the same thing, because after the event, he names the place, God will provide. So it leads me to think that it's the same, but we'd need to look it up and look at the Hebrew. Other thoughts? So Yahweh will provide. The Lord will provide. Stresses His provision for His people, that He is, you know, He is providing. And for us, you know, we can look at that and we can see that God provides. You know, He has provided our salvation. He has provided our redemption. He has provided, you know, Jesus, that through Him we can be saved. Through Him we can be reconciled back to God. Through Him. So God has provided. You know, He has, you know, the Lord will provide. It's He is making provision for His people. That's how they saw it, and that's how it is for us too. He has made provision for us, for all mankind, if we but accept it. Any other thoughts on that? That's one of the names of God, derivatives of Yahweh. The next one, let's turn over to Exodus. Chapter 17. Yeah, and in all of these examples, like Jerry just pointed out, I haven't looked up every instance of Jehovah or God or Yahweh or Elohim that's listed and figured out which one goes to which. We would be doing that for quite some time. But I picked out just, you know, an example of each one of these. So in Exodus 17... go to verse 15, and we see another one. Verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So, quite literally, "The Lord is my banner." And that one is Yahweh... Nisi, N-I-S-S-I. I've been noticing that in the translation. I's or E's, and E's or I's kind of thing. So N-I-S-S-I, Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. So what is that stressing? What is that identifying of the Lord, of God? What is that saying of Him? The Lord is my banner.
And that's how we are identified. We are identified by the banner that we carry.
Right.
It's like an army going to war.
Right.
We carry a banner, and so the Lord is our banner.
Right. And that's literally what he was saying there. We're this war, this fight, this. The Lord is our banner. He is in front of us. He is leading us. Right, for the Israelites. You know, the Lord is my banner. And for us, yes, exactly that. Same thing. He needs to be our banner. He needs to be in front of us. He needs to be leading us. We need to be following. Right, the Lord. In war and in conflicts, you know, the banner is the rallying. The banner is, you know, the standard, the flag. That's what rallies. That's what, you know, gives a means to victory, if you will. You know, that here's the rallying point. And then God is that rallying point. We rally around him.
In a lot of ancient battles, the banner was where the king was.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. The banner was where the king was. And so we rally around that. We go to that, and he leads, and he is in front of us, and he is, you know, he is the one who fights for his people. Okay? So the Lord is fighting for his people. And we, you know, we see that in, you know, the whole Hebrew history there, you know, God fighting for the people. Lest they say, we did it of ourselves, you know, we did it ourselves. You know, no, this was of God. So, the Lord is my banner. You know, means of victory, he's fighting for his people. Yeah. Anything else on that one? It's pretty straightforward, but very interesting insight into his character in that he is fighting for his people. He fights for us. You know, he fights for us. He gave us his son. He fights for us. Okay. Let's see. Hopefully I wrote this one down right. Judges chapter 6. And we want to go to verse 24 as an example here of this next one. Chapter 6, verse 24. It's talking about Gideon. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of those guys. So this one is Yahweh Shalom, which is, "The Lord is peace." Okay, the Lord is peace. Now, what does that say to us? That should say lots of things to us, shouldn't it? The Lord is peace. I mean, what do you think about that one? What does that say to you? The Lord is peace. Awful quiet group tonight. It's been a long day. You guys are going to make it a long night for me. The Lord is peace. Yeah, go ahead.
It says, "The Lord said to him, 'Peace be with you.'" So the Lord is not, the Lord is bringing peace between him and the nation and between others.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, right.
The Lord declared that it is peace.
Right. And it's within him that the peace is found. Because he's making it happen. You know, what does that say for us today? The Lord is peace.
Because you're not in danger of death, so you didn't have any fear. He had peace.
Right. And we have that too. Because we have the hope of eternal life. Yeah. So, you know, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, you know, peace that we can have within Jesus, you know, the peace that we have. All kinds of things we can talk about peace, you know, and what it does for us and can you know, lead us and help us. Yeah, John. Yeah, exactly. All around. Yeah, just calm. Yeah, yeah. Jesus says, peace be still. And it is. Boom, done. And we can have that within him. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Kind of a really powerful example of his power, you know, of his might, of his control of all things. Yes, some poetic way of saying it.
It's true.
Yeah, it is.
When we get ourselves in a position where we're reading enough, we're praying enough, we don't get worked up
right.
About things that don't matter. And most of the stuff here.
Right. And to get out of that, you have to do exactly that. You have to just immerse yourself in the Word and in prayer. And in thinking of God, not all these other things. And when you do that, peace comes. Yeah. Anything else? The Lord is peace. You know, points to the Lord as our means of peace and our means of rest. Okay? Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. Want to go next to First Samuel. We want to go to First Samuel, and we're heading towards chapter one. First Samuel chapter one. For our next name for God. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and starting in verse 3. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and the priests of the Lord were there. Okay. So what did it say right there? Man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Also in chapter 17 and verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Okay? Yahweh Sabbath. There's a different way to pronounce that. You know, S-A-B-B-A-O-T-H. Sabaoth. But the Lord of hosts. Okay? So, what is that speaking to us? The Lord of hosts. Okay? The Lord of hosts. Because it's a different slant, too. Any ideas?
Well, he has hosts and angels.
Uh-huh.
But he also has the hosts and the army of Israel.
Right. Right. He has both. But, you know, here he's, you know, that portrayal of a military figure, the Lord, as the commander of the armies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He's the powerful commander of the army. Right. So, if you have this army and the Lord is in command of it and the army is doing what the Lord says, guess how that's going to turn out? Okay? And yeah, and we see how it did turn out, you know. When they didn't follow what the commander said, what God told them, they lost. But when they did, when they followed him as the Lord of hosts, as the Lord of the armies, the commander of the armies, that military figure that's leading them, when they followed, They won. So he is the Lord of hosts, Sabaoth. That military figure, he's the commander of the armies, armies of heaven. So he is the one in charge, and we need to follow. And we need to kind of think about that today, don't we? Right? He is still in charge. He is still in command. He is still the Lord of hosts. He is still the leader of the heavenly armies. And, you know, we need to do our part that he has asked us to do because he is in command, and we need to just follow exactly what he has told us to do. And we will be victorious. Because he is in the lead and he is in charge, not us, not an individual, not a man. Any other thoughts on that? The Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. Okay? So there's all kinds in the Bible, numerous names for God, not just the couple that we're most familiar with, but when you actually see how he has added these modifiers to his name, we can see some more insight into who he is, into his character. Go ahead.
That makes me think of the throne scene in Revelation.
Yeah.
And the hosts are surrounded by the throne adoring.
Right. Right. And who is at the head? Yeah. Not anyone in the host, but God. Right, on the throne. And we just need to partake of that too. Back to Exodus. I'm going to bounce around a bit, but you know, back to Exodus, and we're heading to chapter 31. Exodus 31. Another name for the Lord. And this one is, this is a tough one. M-A-C-C-A. D-D-E-S-H-C-E-M. I think it was just a word that they could throw as many consonants in as they possibly could. You know, there's two A's, vowels too. There's two A's, two E's, two D's, Makadeshkam, something like that. M-A-C-C-A-D-D-E-S-H-C-E-M. Okay. So if you look in chapter 31 and in verse 13, you'll see this name for the Lord. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you will keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Okay? That sanctifies. So this is the Lord, your sanctifier. Okay? Makadeshkam. And I know I'm not saying that even halfway right. But the Lord, your sanctifier. Okay, now that's a completely different concept, isn't it? Okay, he's not the military commander now. The Lord is the sanctifier. So what does that mean? What is he doing for us there? What did he do for them there with that? Set apart. Right, today, set apart. In there, he set apart a nation. He sanctified them. He pulled them aside and said, okay, I'm doing these mighty works through you, but you got to follow me. And they did, and they didn't. So, he's the sanctifier. Right. So our Lord is the Lord, your sanctifier. So, I don't know how to say this without answering it, but, you know, how do you, is there anything else that sanctifies us? Okay. You know, yeah, I mean, it's God who sanctifies. It's not a man, it's not anything else, it's not an idol, it's not anything else you can throw in front of yourself. You know, when you say that the Lord is your sanctifier, and you see that and you understand that, it excludes anything else can sanctify, because only the Lord can do that. So he is our sanctifier. He sets us apart. And it also carries with it too. Okay, so he set you apart. Okay, great. I'm set apart for a purpose. Okay, we can't lose sight of that. He didn't just set us apart, but he set us apart for a purpose. You know, to follow him, to do his commandments, to do his will, to teach, to bring others to him. He set us apart. You know, he set that nation apart. He sanctified them for purposes, for a purpose, a big purpose, you know, bring through them Christ. So, you know, there's purpose behind it too, not just the fact that, yes, there are set apart people. Yes, that's true, that's important, but there was purpose behind it, not just whim, if you will. Okay? Same thing for us. We're set apart for purpose, not just because. Yeah.
I'm going to set something apart. I either made it or I made it.
Right.
So we say that the Lord sanctifies us, we're saying either he made us or he owns us. He's got the authority.
Right. Yes, exactly. Inherent within that is authority. Right. That he has the total and complete authority to do that, to set them apart, to set us apart. Right. Because, yeah, he owns us. He made us and he owns us. And there's purpose behind that. Yahweh, the Lord, your sanctifier. He set us apart for a purpose, and he is our means of sanctification. We don't get it anywhere else. We can't get it anywhere else. Our means of sanctification is through him. Because of that, yeah, he made us and he owns us. Okay? Now, we saw last week Elohim, Roi, and there's also Yahweh, Roi. So that modifier goes into both. And if you go over to Psalms chapter 23, so this is Yahweh, Roi, which is R-O-I. Sometimes there's an apostrophe thingy in there. Where am I heading? Psalms 23. And if you look, 23 verse 1, very clear, this next one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? So that's Roi. The Lord my shepherd. Okay? Now what is that telling us? We talk about that all the time, don't we? That he's our shepherd. Safety, leading, caring, nurturing. He cares for his people. He finds, well, you know, Steve talked about it in our lesson last Lord's Day, you know, in his example, finding good places for the sheep to be. You know, he's in charge. We need to follow him. You know, he's looking after his flock. He is the shepherd. He cares. He cares for us. He cared for them. He cares for us. Okay? The Lord, my shepherd. Okay? Anything anybody wants to add to that? I mean, we talk a lot about the shepherd and that aspect. So. Okay? Okay. Going to Jeremiah now, chapter 23. Wow, that was pretty lucky. I virtually turned right there. Jeremiah chapter 23. And if you look in, hopefully I wrote this down correctly, verse 6. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called. Okay, the Lord, our righteousness. Okay, Yahweh Tsidkenu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U, Tsidkenu, something like that. The Lord, our righteousness. Okay, so again, another component of our Father is, He is the Lord of our righteousness. We don't have righteousness apart from Him. It's all within Him. He is the Lord of our righteousness. So, He is the means for that. We don't get it anywhere else. We can't get it anywhere else. It's through the Lord. He is our righteousness. Okay? The Lord, our righteousness. Okay? Any thoughts on that? Anybody wants to add? Kind of going through these pretty quick, but there's several of them. There's actually two more that are modifiers to Yahweh. The next one is Shema, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. Again, lots of letters. Yahweh Shema. And in Ezekiel 48:35, let's turn over there. Ezekiel 48 and 35, which is the last verse. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. The name of the city from there, from that day shall be, The Lord is there. Okay. The Lord is there. Yahweh Shema. If I'm even halfway correct. But in Ezekiel there he says, The Lord is there. Okay. That one's pretty intriguing. Okay. When you think about when God set up the temple, right? And you have the holy place, and you have the most holy place. And in the most holy place, you have the pieces that God told them to put in there, the Ark of the Covenant, etc. Okay, but what else was there? What else was in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place? God Himself. He was there. His presence was there. Okay, He was on this planet, not as Jesus, but as, you know, God. He was there. He was filling the most holy place with His presence here on the earth. I wonder if that felt like something. You know? I wonder if that, you know, you always hear the phrase, oh, the electricity in the air. You know? When God's presence was in the most holy place, and you were a Hebrew, and you were out in the courtyard, and everything was happening, and the sacrifices, and all the stuff that was going on with the worship, I wonder if you could feel it, if you could have felt it, that God was there. I don't know. Who knows? We don't know. But anyway, just things like that pop into my head sometimes. Wow, that would, you know, if you could take a time machine and go back and be there, and see what that was like. I mean, to experience it would have been really incredible. Really, really incredible. The Lord is there, portrays the Lord's personal presence in His kingdom. His personal presence, okay? And we need to think about that. And the bell rang. We need to think about that. God's personal presence is with us, you know, because it's His kingdom. We're members of His kingdom. He is in charge. It's His kingdom. His presence fills His kingdom. I mean, in some respects, we kind of need to look at it that way, that we are a part of a kingdom that God has created, and He is the head of it. He is the king, and His presence fills His kingdom. And that's us. So, you know, that's, it's just something we should take to heart, I think, sometimes, that we forget. The Lord is there. His personal presence in the kingdom. That kingdom, our kingdom. His personal presence. You know, you might think I'm all crazy about that, but I think that's something pretty spectacular that we need to maybe not lose sight of. Well, the bell rang. There's one last one that's a modifier to Yahweh. Judges, chapter 5. Let's flip back to Judges. And go to chapter 5 real quick. And we want to drop into verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Literally exactly that. Yahweh Elohim Israel. The Lord God of Israel. Okay? The corporate nation. Yahweh as the God of Israel, which immediately and specifically contrasts that against all the other heathen nations and all the idolatry and all of the stuff that was going on, you know, the Lord God of Israel. Both names. Yahweh, Elohim, Israel. Okay? He is the God of Israel. The Lord, the God of Israel. He was their God. You know? And even though we don't have the Lord God of America, that's not the gig. It's the kingdom that we are in is the Lord God, the Lord of our kingdom. Okay? That is how important, how incredible, how mighty, how vast, how important, whatever modifier you can put on it, the kingdom is, and being a part of the kingdom. You know? And we need to not lose sight of that. The Lord, the God of Israel, the Lord, the God of that kingdom. Okay? And I think you can extend that to our kingdom. He is the Lord God of our kingdom. He is the King of our kingdom. And, you know, we need to think of it that way. We need to treat it that way. So, second bell is going to ring. Those are all the modifiers that go to the word Yahweh. So there's still a few more names that we want to talk about next week and then get into a little bit some of other things. But any other thoughts for tonight on all those different modifiers that go with the word Yahweh? I think we can see different aspects of his character, different aspects of who he is, what he's done in the past, and what by extension we can say he does today, which he does. And, you know, that's glorious for us in the kingdom. Any other thoughts before we wrap up for tonight from anyone? Very quiet group tonight. That's okay, though. That's all right. Okay, well, we're done a minute or two early, but usually when I say that, the bell rings immediately. But anyway, thanks, and we'll pick up there next week. We've got 1, 2, 3 more words we want to talk about, and then we want to take a look at Jesus, and then we want to take a look at the Holy Spirit and take a look at that for a few minutes before we launch into other characteristics of God. Okay, thanks, guys.